We're just going to do something different right now. We're going to do a quarterback option. We're going to give the quarterback the option right now. We're going to sing something. Replace How Great Thou Art to How Great Thou Art at the end. Ready? Sing it together.
This sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Isn't God good? God is so awesome. Look, it's fine to tell him God is awesome. God is awesome. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're going to do something a little different today. Very different today. Thank you, bro. You told me not to back up. That would have been terrible for both of us. We're going to do something a little different today. I had a sermon, and my sermon was going to be on attitude. But the Lord checked me, so I'm just going to go through here, and I'm just going to talk for a little while. Is it okay if I just talk for a little while? You know, I can tell that there's a lot of you out there hurting, and I'm hurting. We're all hurting, and there's no comparison of the pain because everybody hurts in their own way. And honestly, if y'all would like, I could actually do a Sunday on the grief journey, not the grieving cycle, the grief journey. But unless that's what you want, that's what we'll do. And if you don't, I can do it individually. But there's no PowerPoint today. I'm just talking. For the past few years, we've experienced a lot of loss. Amen. We've had loss here. And we've had loss since COVID. We've had a bunch of loss. With the COVID loss, honestly, most of the loss seemed to be at our back door. Last Saturday, I did preach a funeral for Joe Hartman, the guy that helped us put in our new PA system years ago. He died of COVID pneumonia. He's 52 years old. And it was just, like I said, the loss for the last couple of years has been mainly at the back door. But Friday, it entered our house. Amen. We lost our precious Jeannie. You can't hide it. You can't sweep it under the rug. The best way to handle it is to deal with it and to talk about it. You know, I planned on preaching something entirely different, but the Lord gut checked me. And when he gut checked me, he showed me that so many of us, myself included, were all hurting and searching for answers because honestly, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't. And because it doesn't make sense, I asked the Lord to talk to me, to show me some stuff. And, you know, when life doesn't seem to make sense, when the bottom drops out, when you have unexpected loss. And I've been talking about this man off and on, but not this way. Today is different. Today's everything's different. You could tell when we were playing with emotion. Honestly, I could see Jeannie back there with her hands raised because she used to love to hear the praise team. I can see it. And I know that she's hearing a lot of praise now in heaven before God. But it's no secret. Nobody, y'all say nobody. Nobody in here can escape grief. Nobody in here can escape loss. I promise you, nobody in here is exempt from pain. Nobody in here is exempt from sorrow. Matter of fact, there's nobody in here that's going to waltz through life without tears. I have discovered that the trail of faith It leads to heaven, but the trail of faith is paved with tears and sweat. It's not an easy road. Now, life also is not free of unexpected events that can break your heart, sometimes even just tear your heart out. I look back and I think about Adam and Eve. They buried their son unexpectedly. Abraham buried his spouse. David buried his son. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. Mary wept when Jesus died at Calvary. Again, no one is exempt from pain. And I can promise you, Job, we're going to talk about Job right now. He was no different than you and me. Matter of fact, if you want to know the truth about it, he'd be one of those guys you'd say, wow, he's the guy I'd like to be like. I mean, this guy here had it going on. It said he was the most awesome man in all the East. He had everything going for him. Everything was going great. And in Job 1 and 9, and I'll get back in a minute and read some of this. But again, I'm just talking. In Job 1 and 9, the devil had been going around, and he had been searching for people to hunt, searching for people to hurt. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And Job said, have he served you for nothing? He said, you got a hedge around him. I can't even touch him. Every time I get close, I get zapped. In other words, Satan was insinuating that Job just served the Lord for selfish reasons. He suggested Job would turn against God if unexpected pain came his way. So, he thought Job would respond the wrong way to grief, loss and pain, sorrow, and a broken heart. But what happens is, Job handled it a whole lot differently. And today, everybody in here is experiencing a loss. There's different levels of loss. You know, I was walking through the hallway a while ago, and I was thinking about the time she would, because as she got older, she got slower, and I'd run around her, and I'd go, whoop, 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 and she'd go, just go. And I think about, you know, 3 or 4 days a week, I was with her here. She backed me up when I had people counseling. She walked back in front of the door to make sure, you know, that everything was on the up and up, and they felt protected. I felt protected, the whole legal gamut. And if I was missing in action, I'd tell her, and she would tell people where I was at. And then she would remind me. And sometimes she would remind me to the point where she'd say, okay, am I meddling? And am I aggravating you? And I'd say, yes, Jeannie, you are. But please keep on. Amen? She used to talk about how she was one of my brains. Linda was one brain and she was the other brain. But you see, a lot of us suffered loss. Some of us have known Jeannie all our life. Some of us only for a little while. Some of us are actually kin to her. She's your mom. She's your wife. She's your sister. She's your child. She's your cousin. She's your confidant. And on Friday, when she took that last breath, first I praised God, and after I praised God, I said to myself, God, this doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Knock, knock. There we go. There we got her. But when she took that last breath, all I could say, this doesn't make sense. I mean, life doesn't make sense when you have that loss, when you get gut punched, and you feel like you've been punched in the gut, you feel like you've just been stabbed in the heart. You got a choice. Two choices. You can either be driven away from God, which many people do, or you can let it drive you to God. In other words, you can be driven further from God, or you can let it make you get closer. A couple of questions. I hear this all the time in counseling as a pastor, and I ask these questions myself at times. Where's God in times like these? Where's Jesus when it hurts? How can I be better and not bitter? What is that that will enable me to keep going and be strong in the Lord? God gave us an answer, and that's in Job 1, 21 and 22. Now, you got to understand, it kept getting worse. This was just the initial shock. This was the sticker shock. His body hadn't been touched yet. In one swipe, in one day, he lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen, 5,000 she-asses, a very great household or servants. He lost his 7 sons and his 3 daughters and everything that held, the things that held dear to his heart. Matter of fact, you can say it this way. He had a financial crisis. He had an employment crisis. He had a family crisis. And eventually have his own fitness crisis. Not only did Satan take it away, but he took away the hope of being able to replenish what he lost. Have you ever been there? Are you there right now? What do you think about Jesus? You see, what do I do when, like Job, my heart is broken from grief and loss? There's 4 things that make a difference. And number one is Job looked back to his birth. That's the first thing he did, because he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb. Verse 21. Naked I came. Now, of course, we have to sit back and think about, please don't take a picture and show that picture, Mom, when I was born, because I don't want people to see my naked hiney. But you know what? The truth is, everybody's born naked. And it's not just physical. There's a spiritual remnant to that. There's an emotional remnant to that. There's a mental part of that. Because when you're born naked, it means you brought nothing into this world. Nothing. Job now, as he says, I connected, I came from mother's womb, and now he's acknowledging he's only a steward. That everything he owns belongs to God. He confesses as he looks back, and he said, I came in this world with nothing. I'm going to leave the same way. He realized that his family was on loan as a gift. And that gift was for a season. Since we've been here, and since I've been here, I can remember the times, the multiple times, the times that the coffin pulled up and somebody that we thought we couldn't live without was laying up here. We didn't think the church could go on without them, and they were laying here. We didn't think our families would be the same because they were laying here. But every time God stepped in, he brought awesome, unspeakable comfort, and he showed us we could go on if we would trust him. And I can promise you, as long as we live, until the rapture takes place, there's going to be more coffins up here. And the truth be known, it may be my coffin up here. Nobody knows. Only God. The times and seasons are in his hands. So, just like it was with Job, it so is with you. We all come in this world with nothing at birth. You know, one guy was trying to joke and he said, I came in the world with nothing, and so far I've got most of it left. Nothing. You know, for a season, God's blessed all of us. He's blessed our family, our friends, you know. Just the last couple of days, all I can think about back again is about Bethany, you know, and Bethany's been really hard on my mind lately, you know, and honestly, I know this has to be my imagination, I know it is, but I really believe I was sitting back last night, and I was taking a shower, and I was trying to get ready, and as I was trying to get ready, I was thinking about Jeannie, and I said, God, help me to be able to be your agent of comfort today, and I said, God, help me to remember that her and Bethany are with you. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I kid you not, I felt a And to make it even wilder is I looked in the mirror and my hair was standing up. And I could hear Bethany say, "Dad, God's got this. God's got me. God's got Jeannie. God's got y'all." So whether it was really her or not, I knew my hair was standing up and I felt a knock on the back of my head. Amen? Maybe God sent an angel and said, "Tighten up, son." Before season, God blesses us. So instead of, at this moment, instead of saying, "God, why, thank him that he blessed us with one another. And thank him that we had Jeannie for so long, 62 years. You know, a lot of people didn't get 62 years. Some didn't even get 1 year. We've had all ages. Death is not a discriminator of age, sex, race. Amen? Thank God for the gift of your family and friends. And let's remember in a time of sorrow that God gave us Jeannie. You know, I like what Job said, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Amen? He's in control, not us. He's in, not COVID either. Did you see that sign out there? COVID-19 has to bow to John 3:16. I just walked out ministering to Jeannie one day, and on the way home, I walked out and I said, "God, touch this woman." And as I walked, and she smiled at me. You know, she wanted to know, she said, "Make sure you take care of Don." And I said, "I've been taking care of old Hardhead for you." And she laughed. And then I said, "Everybody here says, make sure you know that they love you and they're praying for you." And you know her soft heart? She started to cry. And I said, "God's got this." And she smiled at me. See, God's got her. God's got us. And do you think God will let Jeannie go without having a plan for us here? For the family? A plan for the family? Do you think God will let one go without having another? I can tell you something don't do, please don't do, is go to Don and to the family and go, she's in a better place now. You know why? She definitely is in a better place, but we aren't. You can't bring somebody comfort by telling them somebody's in a better place when you're in a bad place right now. We're in a bad place. But we're in God's place. And God will take care of it. Number one, he looked back to his birth. Number two, he looked up ahead to his own death. He said, "Naked, I'm going to return." In other words, I'm going to return to the earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And all I'm doing down here is getting ready for the world to come. I'm leaving this temporary assignment to inherit an eternal place with God, an eternal home. I want to give you a reminder here. The mortality rate in this world is, guess what it is? The mortality rate is 100%. 100! Everybody will die. Unless the rapture takes you out of here, we're going to die. All of us, some younger, some older, we're all going to pass away. There's two problems about this when somebody passes away. It's usually an unwelcome loss. It definitely was an unwelcome loss to lose Jeannie. It was unwelcome. And unexpected loss. Look at the time. And she was 62. She had her plans. I heard her. She talked about what she was going to do with Liam, and she couldn't wait to get other grandchildren and all kinds of things about retiring and all this stuff. And God said, "I got a better plan." God always heals three ways. Number one, through doctors, time, and medicine. Number two, through miracles. He instantaneously heals you. And number three, the greatest healing of all, he takes you home. God gave her the greatest healing of all. Now, number three, I told you I won't keep you long. Number three, Job looked up in faith. He said, "The Lord gave and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So instead of cursing God, he looked up and he blessed God. Instead of cursing him, he said, "Thank you, God. You're an awesome, awesome God. You see, when you blame God, then problems arise. He didn't blame God. He acknowledged that God is good. Looking around at other people, he fixed his eyes on God because even his friends didn't have the answer. I promise you, nobody's got the answers you're looking for today. Nobody. Job's friends didn't have the answers. Matter of fact, Job's friends just made it worse. I promise you, nobody's got the answer but the Holy Spirit, and He will give it to you in piecemeal. He will give you a little bit at a time. You know, we can, in the midst of our pain, acknowledge God is good. We can look up like Job. If we look up like Job, we'll find grace to help in our time of need. And it's very important. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4 says, "Blessed be God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others." Not only is God going to comfort us, but whatever however He comforts us, we're going to be able to use that again to comfort somebody else. If anybody in here has ever had a loss, I promise you, a person that had a real deep loss, you're the ones that people want to hear from when other people have a loss. Amen? If you've never had a loss, don't come to me and tell me all about loss if you've never known one. But if you've lost your parents or lost your wife or lost your daughter or lost your brother or lost your sister, lost a dear friend, then you can tell me about loss. Because you know the real pain, not a book pain. So the challenge today is to look up, receive strength and comfort from God, and then he finally looked within and stayed free from destructive attitudes and destructive anger. Here's the problem. When things like this happen and we don't understand, at times we get angry with God. I know none of y'all have ever been angry with God, so please forgive me because I have. Why'd you let it happen this way? God, I was doing my best, and then this happened. I have not been mad at the loss of Jeannie, but I've definitely been sad, and I'm trying to refrain from asking why, and I'm trying to ask God, what do you want me to learn, and what do you want us to learn from this? You see, it says in 22, "In all this Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. He refused to allow himself to get bitter." You see, if you let evil get the upper hand, it will imprison your spirit. I'm going to be bold right now, very bold. And I'm going to say something that's not going to win a lot of accolades. But apart from this with Jeannie right now, some of us in here right now have imprisoned spirits. Our spirit's imprisoned inside because we won't give the pain to God. We won't release the pain, but instead we hold on to it because we think as we hold on to the pain and nurse a grudge, it gives us power over the situation, not realizing actually it embitters your spirit and it shuts down wonderful communication with God, and it pairs up the comfort that is available to you. But Job submitted himself to God for safekeeping. Yes, Job was hurting. He felt the loss of loved ones. He was grieved over what had took place. And he even got angry at God a couple of times. He was hurting from the loss and pain, but he didn't stay angry. He didn't get embittered. See, that's all normal reactions. If you've ever heard about the grieving cycle, it is. It is shock, and it's anger, and it's disbelief, and it's bargaining. You see, he rose above his pain and lost my understanding that God is still God. Y'all remember William Barclay, there's never a Sunday goes by that he's not quoted in a pulpit somewhere in America. Several hundred years ago, an awesome, awesome Bible commentator, for lack of better words. His 21-year-old child died unexpectedly. And he said, and he wrote it down, God didn't prevent the storm that happened, but He did still the storm within my own heart. Wow. There's a storm now. But you know what? It's not the water around the boat that sinks the boat. It's when the water gets in the boat. That's when the boat sinks. So we can let it get just bitter, let us get angry, and the water starts getting in the boat. And if we get enough in the boat, we'll sink. But all this stuff going around, and all this, the COVID and all this other stuff going, and people in the funeral homes everywhere with, from COVID pneumonia and all kinds of things, that's the water around us. We don't have to let it get in our boat. We can trust God and keep our boat clean so that we can keep afloat. When things like this happens, there's just three things to be said. Ready? Number one. Stuff like this, I'm going to give you some answers right now. Jeannie died. And I'll tell you something. Now I've already told the family, so I'll tell you. But Jeannie first got sick, and usually I get this feeling inside when somebody's sick if it's going to be terminal or not. And Jeannie knew that, and she would go to me all the time and say, "How you feeling?" "I'm feeling okay. I don't feel like they're going to die." If I kept feeling that way, I'd say, "Jeannie, I'm not feeling good about this." And she said, "Okay." Well, early on when I went to see Jeannie, and I could barely hear her because she had that BiPAP on. And I said, "I want to tell you something." And she said, "What?" And I said, "The feeling I got inside." And she stopped. And she said, "That's what I've been waiting for." I said, I don't feel anything like this. I feel like everything's going to be okay." And she said, "Okay." And on Thursday, I was on the way to the church. And just like I have these little spot visions. One day I had a spot vision with DC, and I saw DC in a house fire, and I saw a board fall down and hit him in the head and knock off his hat and burn his face and ruin his eye. And I called DC up, and I said, "DC, I'm not trying to scare you, but I got this going on. I need to tell you what just happened to me," because just like that, like a flash. And DC said, "Daddy, please tell me." And I told him, I said, "Daddy, you didn't know that I was in training today." We went through those scenarios. And then a couple weeks later, I got a text on a Saturday morning, and DC said it happened there. And I said, "What happened?" He said, that vision. He said, "I was in the house. The board fell, knocked off my hat." He said, "But I was ready." That same kind of vision has happened time and time again. Sometimes about y'all, and you don't necessarily know it. Thursday, I'm cutting up my apples to bring them out here. I was going to eat them in the car. And I had a flash vision, and I'm sitting in Paul Funeral Home. And there's Marina. And there's Sierra. And there's Don. And I said, "Y'all give me some words to describe your mama." And I said, "No, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus." And I rebuked that all the way to church. And when I came into church, Don said, "Not looking good, bro." I said, "Why?" I said, "She's contacted ARDS again. That's acute respiratory distress syndrome." And I said, "Doctor said this could take her out." And I said, "Don, I'm not trying to scare you, but I feel like I need to tell you." And I told him about that. That was on Thursday. On Saturday, he sat in the funeral. And there was Dawn. And there was Marina. And there was Sierra. I believe God showed me that so that I would, when all this was going down at the end, that I would submit to His will and trust God. Don said something. We were sitting out in the car. We couldn't even go in. We're sitting out in the car. After I've been in, I was sitting out in the car. The girls were right there with their dad, and I'm in the car with her sisters and her mom and Dwayne. And Don said, "We decided the giver to God. And I felt peace. Because God had shown me that Thursday. See, here's the hard part. Number one, it's impossible to understand all that's going on around you. Number two, Jesus don't always offer solutions, but he does offer strength so that we can handle what's going on around us, even when we don't understand. Number three, instead of resentment against God, that leaves us with a spiritual chip on our shoulder, go on living, go on working, and find the presence of Jesus and the strength to meet life with steady eyes. You see, the Bible said, Job 19, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head. That's all signs of mourning. It's healthy to mourn. It's okay to mourn. But the next part is so awesome and unbelievable. It says, then he fell to the ground and he worshiped. He didn't stand and shake his fist. He fell to the ground and worshiped. I'm reminded of a time, a young man in my church, his wife was pregnant. She was 6 months pregnant. A car couldn't see her because the lights were blinding him. He was a good guy. I knew the guy, but he couldn't see her because the sun blinded him. He hit her, knocked her into a tree, and her belly hit the steering wheel. On the way to the hospital, they realized the placenta was tearing loose. They tried to send her to Greenville. And the baby died on the way to Greenville. She still had to go through childbirth. And now she had the child. It looked normal. It was a big baby. It looked normal. It looked healthy. They took the baby and they wrapped it up and they put the little toboggan on its head and it just like it was sleeping. And the nurse walked into me and that guy. And she handed him that lifeless baby. And I remember it. He said, why? Why? My precious son. And I grabbed him. And I grabbed the baby. And I said, bruh, I don't have any answers. All I know is we serve a God that is always in control. And I held him and I held that baby and we just cried. And then I led him into worship to the Almighty God. Job 19:23 says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. It has been. It has. Job's the oldest book in the Bible. Here it is. It's still here. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And although the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I'm going to read a little different right now, and please bear with me. DC, BJ, y'all come up here. Start playing something softly. It's very soft. With Jeannie, with Bethany. I said this with Bethany. I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And although this cancer destroyed her body in her flesh, she will see you, God. although COVID-19 and COVID pneumonia may destroy this body in Jeannie's flesh, she will see God. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of unanswered questions. I really wish I had some answers. I don't. One thing I do know is that God is in control. I want to say this. Some of y'all heard it last week. Some of you didn't. When I was preaching Joe Hartman's funeral last week, the guy that had worked with him for many years was running the sound. And there was people hurting because Joe was 52. He was all over the place. Just like Jeannie, all over the place. And I just told everybody about a time where a young man asked me, where was God when his son died? And I said, the same place he was when his son died. Still on the throne, still in control, still calling the shots. And then I read that scripture that I read for Bethany. The good, why does the good die young? Isaiah 57, why does the good die young? It's because nobody even realizes that God is saving them from worse things to come. And after I got through reading that and we closed in prayer, another minister, his wife came up to me and she said, that was God. And I said, well, I hope, you know, that this was God working in here. She said, no, you don't understand. She said, you know the sound man? I said, yes. He said his son was an Army Ranger. And he was on the way home one night, wherever he was stationed, and he was talking to his dad on the phone, and he told his dad, said, Dad, I'm really, really tired. He said, I'm really tired. And he said, why don't you pull over? He said, no, Dad, I think I can make it. He said, I love you, Dad. And he hung up the phone. And a few minutes later, the dad got a phone call that his son had run off the road and had been killed in an accident. And the woman told me, said, that guy refused to let God minister to him. She would know she was a minister's wife. She tried to help. He didn't want any help. He didn't want to hear anything. And she said, but today, he heard. And so not only did he hear, God did something special for him because I saw God ministering in his heart. I promise you today, there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of unanswered questions. But I promise you that God is still in control. And he's still calling the shots. God is awesome. All the time, God is awesome. I want everybody just to stand up. And I want you to put your hands in the air. And we're going to worship God. And that chorus comes around, I want us to sing that song too. Sing it with me. We're the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Come on, sing it. For I'll cherish the old rugged cross till one day last. My trophies I lay down. There you go. I will cling to the old rugged cross. And once change it one day for a crown. Do that chorus again. Maybe I won't mess it up this time. For I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Come on. Worship God. God's still God. He's still in control. He's still calling the shots. He still has comfort.
To the old rugged cross.
We praise you, God. We worship you.
For a crown.
God's awesome. Just keep your hands up. In your own way, I just want you to worship. Just worship. And I want you to thank God for the time we had here with Jeannie. And how God used her time and time and time again to be a blessing.
For I cherish the old rugged cross.
Come on.
These at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
One thing I've learned about life is it's full of unexpected things. Good, bad, ugly. Clint Eastwood didn't come up with that. Life did. We have the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've got a God that is always good. And He always defeats the bad. Amen? We're going to close in prayer. And I know the ladies are going to meet back over there. But before you go, if you want to go find somebody and just, you know what to do. Brother Steve.
And we thank you for Sister Jeannie and her life. Lord, we know that death comes. That we're all going to have a place to go. And Lord, we praise you for knowing that you've got our back, Lord. And Lord, we just again thank you so much for the blessings of life. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen.